for two. Kickers are extra, I give them the boot. Ooh, going for two. Sit back, relax while I grab me a brew. Ooh, now I'm reclining while putting my time and I'm ready to go. My spine is aligning and much my lineups, my bank account grow. I am so rich, but knowledge is all that I'm leaving it with. Ooh, listen to this. Multiple options, how far can I get? Ooh, DFS Dynasty redraft tonight, I'm not finishing last. I'm finishing past any and all, I am looking to last.
What else?
This spot is popping and I am so locked in, and only opening the door when it is opportunity knocking. And all of these spots keep on talking and talking. So what are we talking? What kind of alignment and running it deep? Even players forgotten or caving the bottom or hitting that topping. And this spot is popping, yeah, this spot is popping. And woo! This is the arm chat, yeah. Put up your arms, yeah. Sound the alarm, yeah.
What is going on, guys, and welcome to episode 372 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I am your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. We are live, of course, every night at 9:30 on Wednesdays on Facebook Live, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and you can find all of our stuff syndicated at goingfor2.com. We've got a train going on in the background, it sounds like. I don't know.
That's mine. Okay. Welcome to the hood.
I thought I was hearing things for a minute. I'm like, wait a minute, is that a train in the background? All right, I'm here with my co-host, as always, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. What's up, Ryan?
Not much, man. Excited to kind of unpack a lot of stuff tonight.
Yeah. You've been unpacking for weeks now.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Ryan's been moving into a new place lately. It's why we had to cancel a couple shows before the draft. We had to cancel, and then he has some issues with his internet, and it's been a hell of a month for Ryan. But it looks like he's finally
everything's doing good. And if it doesn't work tonight, I just quit.
All right. Also joining us tonight, you heard the train in the background, Mr. Keith Fleming. He is from the Fantasy Six Pack and Fantasy in Frames. You can follow him on Twitter at Keith Fleming. What's up, Keith?
Man, not too much. Like them Georgia Bulldogs coming down the tracks. But doing very well. Appreciate you guys having me on. Excited to talk. We were kind of chatting before we went on air. Pretty loaded class, and I think a lot of good situations for guys, like really interesting stuff with some pretty talented dudes. So it's going to be fun for the next 5 months to speculate, talk about rank, etc., which we'll get into tonight.
Absolutely. So real quick, tell my listeners what you do over at Fantasy Six Pack and over at Fantasy and Frames as well.
Absolutely. So Fantasy Six Pack, I cover DFS, both golf and football. I do a weekly article for golf, basically starting the second the Super Bowl's over through the beginning of the NFL season, which it works out perfect that the golf season, at least through the Tour Championship, ends right there. Me and Joe Matz do a DFS show on Thursday for cash games on Fantasy Six Pack. On Fantasy and Frames, again, do DFS football. Me and Joe have showed Friday during the season, and we've just started two new shows on Thursday, Fantasy Football Weekly, which is myself, Jorge Edwards, Britt Flynn, really fun group. We're just basically shooting the shit. Honestly, there's no real agenda to the show, just having fun. And then working with Stacey Perez on a actual kind of mock draft show where she has people on. They do best ball, redrafts, all kinds of different drafts, and we just commentate over it. So, and then finally on ESPN Northwest Florida, every Wednesday from 1 to 1:45, again, talking DFS, golf during golf season, NFL, obviously, and football during football season.
Good stuff, man. You're doing all kinds of stuff. I love it. I love it.
I love to talk, man. what can I say?
Good stuff. All right. As always, guys, the show is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Check out their best ball leagues, huge tournaments, private leagues, pick-ems for all major sports. Use our promo code GF2 and you can get up to $250 now. They have raised it. It is up to $250 in bonus cash. It's as simple as that. Sign up, use our promo code GF2 and get up to $250 in bonus cash to use on the site. Of course, it is best ball season. We are now post NFL draft, so the rookies are now included into your best ball league. So definitely jump into some of those leagues and make sure to use our promo code GF2 to get that bonus. Tonight's topic, it's a simple one. I know there's been probably 100 podcasts. If you're a content consumer, every podcast right now is doing winners and losers for the NFL draft. We're going to do the same thing tonight, but we're going to put a little bit of a twist to it, which we'll get to in just a little bit. Of course, we'll always do our forgotten fantasy player, but we kick it off here with our nonsense draft.
Let's mock draft.
All right. Today we are drafting best alien species for an intergalactic battle royale. And it's pretty much open to movies. It's open TV, video games, books, comic books, whatever you want to choose from. It's open to all. And as always, our guest gets to go first here. So, Keith, what is your 101 alien species here?
I'm going to have to take the layup. I mean, it's the Predator, right? Like, one of the greatest movies of all time. Arnold versus the Predator. I mean, the movie's like 40 years old now, and it's still amazing. It keeps coming back bigger with more gadgets, and I love just the fact that, you know, sometimes it breaks down some of the technology to where I'll go man-to-man with you. You know, he's not afraid to really get his hands dirty, so I got to go with the Predator as the first pick.
Predator's a great choice. That was definitely on my list. So I got the 102, and I'm going to take, this guy's been in the movies with the Predator and Aliens versus Predator. So I'm going to take the aliens, from all the Alien movies, of course, with, you know, Sigourney Weaver and the whole nine. So, I think those two are probably the most well-known aliens, in the movie industry, the Predator and the Alien from Aliens, the Xenomorph, as they call it. That was the 102. Ryan, you got the 103. You got the tough pick here. You got the teardrop.
Going completely opposite way of something that's going to destroy them both. And we're talking Kryptonians. Superman, Zod. They don't got no kryptonite, those species. He's going to demolish them.
Good point. I love it. That's a great pull, because you don't really think of them as aliens, but you're right. They most definitely are. Great, great pull. All right, the 201 here, Keith.
All right, again, I'm going to have to take another layup. I like his Superman. I'm going to raise him, you know, the Infinity Gauntlet and just take Thanos, who, let's be honest. He kind of went toe-to-toe without any special powers with the three big guys from Marvel, which I don't think that gets talked about. That's like one of my favorite scenes is it took three of them just to get a tiny speck of blood. Just amazing stuff. So I'm going to go with Thanos.
Thanos, another great choice for sure.
He smacked around Hulk one-on-one.
For real.
Yeah, 100%. All right, I got the 202 here, and I'm going to go a different route, and, you know, it's going to kind of show you my nerddom here for all those Star Trek fans out there. Give me the Borg. You know, they assimilate all the species, and they become all part of this Borg, this huge collective that they're all aware at all times of everything that's in their, you know, area, so they drive that big square spaceship, so I'll take the Borg. Pretty iconic character from the Star Trek series. Ryan, you got the 203.
I'm taking the aliens from A Quiet Place that wiped out all of Earth. If you made a sound, they destroyed you. It demolished the planet in days.
Yeah, that was on my list as well. I don't even know what they were called. I just put the Quiet Place aliens, whatever those things
are. Yeah, I couldn't find what they're called either. They didn't really have a species like made up for it.
I love it.
But they're creepy.
They are creepy looking. Yeah, they are for sure. All right, Keith, this is your last pick here in the draft. What you got for your last pick?
Oh, man, so it's only three. All right. Let me go with the Clover Lane monster, who just wreaking havoc. That's going to be my big man, my Shaq in the middle, nice, handling stuff where Thanos is kind of calling the shots. And, you know, we got the Predator just going crazy on everybody. So I'm going to go with the Clover Lane monster.
I love it. I love it. All right. I got the 302. And again, I'm going to show you how deep my nerddom goes. I'm going to give you the species name first, and then I'm going to tell you how you know him. Dathomirian is the species. And you know him because it is the species that Darth Maul was in the Star Wars series.
Yes.
There was a couple of characters, if you watch the Clone Wars cartoon, that came out of that species as well. His brother, Savage Opress, is another one. force wielding, obviously good with the lightsaber, and a very aggressive species. So Dothamirians is who I'm going to
survive getting cut in half, which is always a benefit.
Yep. 100%. Yep. Absolutely. Only true fans know that. They are the ones that are just the casual fans think he died during the movies. But if you watch the Clone Wars,
he's tougher than that.
He's been killed like three times.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's like Jason.
All right, Ryan, closes out here with the 303.
So in the comments, Jamie made a comment about what if Kryptonians are on a planet without a sun? And I'm going to answer that. It's called Viltrumites. What Omni-Man from Invincible is, they literally just go around the universe destroying and taking over planets at a whim. And it just takes one of them. They got a full army.
And what is this from? I don't recognize that.
Invincible.
Invincible. Okay.
It's a comic book. The show's on.
The show is insane if you ever watch. Extremely violent, but really good.
It's an adult cartoon that you should absolutely watch, Jeff.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Have your kids nowhere near it.
Squeamish, it may not be for you. Let me just put it that way. There was an episode in the first season that even I was like, ooh, this is worse than like an MMA fight.
The last episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
It still like gives you like, oof.
I may have to check that one out for sure. All right, that wraps up our nonsense draft. I mentioned we were going to be doing a winners and losers from the NFL draft with a twist. And here's the twist. We're going to be doing this in a mock draft format. We're going to do four rounds. The first round is going to be rookie winners. Second round is going to be rookie losers. Third round is going to be the veteran winners. And the fourth round will be veteran losers. It'll be a 9-team league, so we each get 3 picks each in each round. But let me hit the drop and we can get to our mock draft.
Stock up. Stock down.
All right, so first round here, and it is, like I said, rookie winners, and that could be anything, however you want to define a rookie winner, whether it's good landing spot, good situation, draft capital, whatever the case may be. However you want to define it. Ryan, you got the 101 here. So who is your biggest rookie winner?
I mean, it's obviously easily Caleb Williams to me. I have never seen a 101 fall into a better situation. He's coming in there throwing to DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. They took Adunze. He has Kmet. They picked up DeAndre Swift.
And a good defense.
He's in such a place to succeed for where he was drafted. All the stars line for it. If he doesn't succeed, he wasn't built for the league. Like, this is the best situation he could land in. I don't know if any player landed in a better situation off the rip.
Yeah, somebody put a tweet out today comparing what Caleb Williams is walking into, comparing to what Justin Fields walked into as a Bear. And, I mean, his guys are like Darnell Mooney. And, like, I mean, not even close to comparison to some of the guys that Caleb Williams has.
Look at the 101 last year with Bryce Young. Yeah. Like, just demolished situation would set him up for failure.
Yep.
This is beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely a winner for sure. All right, Keith, you got the second pick here in the first round.
All right, let me clarify that I did this as this season, not necessarily dynasty, which guys are the real winners for best balls, you know, redrafts, fantasy drafts coming up. For me, it's Malik Nabers for the Giants is the real winner. I talk about it all the time in DFS. I'm always looking for bad teams for QBs and wide receivers because you know what happens when your team sucks? You're down a lot and you're chucking, and those points count just as much as every other point. He is at a team that, it's rough. I can't say I'm a Danny Dimes believer anymore after last season. I don't think Danny Dimes is as bad as he was last year. They lost Saquon Barkley. It looks like Darren Waller is going to retire. I love Darius Slayton. He won me a ton of money in DFS down the stretch, but not exactly an elite wide receiver. And you could argue Nabers was the most talented, like we're just talking pure physical talent, in this draft. I think it's a perfect situation where people are going to take Harrison in best ball, redraft, etc. Totally get it. Harrison's really good, but they got McBride. They got other things. And I think Cardinals are going to be better than people think, to where Nabers, it's just a perfect situation for him to get peppered with targets. And one thing Daniel Jones does thrive in, and even showed it last year, he can throw a deep ball. Malik Nabers, a very good wide receiver at making big plays down the field. I think he's the biggest winner out of this rookie class for actual like best ball redrafts going on right now.
I love it. And I love that you have him as a winner, because I've seen the argument the other way with him being a loser, that, oh, you know, he's got a terrible quarterback, terrible team situation. And you're a DFS guy just like I am. And we know that those bad teams, they
opportunity
have
opportunity matters. Yep. Like, yep. That's what it's about, right? Yep. Is opportunity. I mean, it really is. That's what you can predict. You can't predict how somebody is going to perform. You can kind of predict what is their volume going to be. And to me, that's where you get a leg up, whether it be DF, you know, best ball, whatever it be.
Absolutely. I love it. Great pick. All right. So the way I define the winners is, you know, looking at pre-draft mock drafts to post-draft mock drafts as far as where they were falling in Dynasty rookie mocks. And my biggest winner was actually Bo Nix. I don't know if anybody had him going that high and potentially walking into a day one starter position. I personally didn't have him going in the first round at all in my NFL mock drafts. So he goes to the Denver Broncos. Now he gets his receiver that he played with in college as well. He's gone from a probably mid to late second round pick in rookie mocks. He's now a surefire first round pick in super flex leagues. I think he gained the most value. Situation's not great, but it could be worse, right? He's got a great head coach. He's got a head coach that's kind of worked with a quarterback similar to him. You know, the biggest knock on Nix was that he was a quarterback that throws a ton of screen passes. Well, you know what Sean Payton does? Throws a ton of screen passes.
Sounds a lot like Drew Brees when he first got to New Orleans, if you ask me.
Yep, 100%. So I think Bo Nix got a great situation as far as coaches go. Got his receiver from college as well to join him. So as far as his pre-NFL draft stock and post-NFL draft stock, I think Bo Nix was a big winner in this one. Ryan, back to you.
I'm going with who we were just talking about before the show started with Ladd McConkley. I mean, we're talking about targets and opportunity to get targets, and they lost everybody there. Keenan Allen's, 140 targets he's locked in for. Gerald Everett's huge targets. Austin Eckler's huge targets. Dude, there's so many balls to go around. Like, he's 120, 130, possibly more targets right away. And honestly, they're not that great of a team. But he has a great quarterback. It might work out beautifully for him.
Yep, absolutely. I love that pick. That is for sure a great one. All right, Keith, back to you here.
Just real quick to co-sign, because I can't agree enough with the McConkey thing. He's probably going to play the slot. We've seen Keenan Allen get peppered with targets in the slot, you know, playing with Herbert, so he's comfortable throwing there. And then again, 65% of all Herbert's receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns, they're gone. Somebody's got to do it. So the next guy I'm going to go on my list is somebody who I think was one of the most talented people in the draft. If not for injury, he would have gone much higher, and that is Jonathan Brooks.
Great pick.
With the Carolina Panthers.
Great landing.
Don't look now. I'm a Bryce truther, okay? He had a horrible situation last year, and people want to knock, he sucks, whatever. Throw C.J. Stroud in that situation. Tell me how good C.J. Stroud did. Not very good. They have added some pieces I really like. You bring back Chuba, who we'll get into him in the losers later, but I love the addition of Brooks, who is a really special if you look from the production in college and some of the athletic standpoints and 40 times size, etc. These guys, only like Bijan, Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry are in that category. So, I mean, he's got elite talent, but he was injured. That's why they got him later. And then the Deontay Johnson signing makes a lot of sense to me. And also Leggett. Like, they've all of a sudden got weapons around Bryce, and he proved in Alabama, if you can surround him with good players, Bryce can ball, man. And I think this whole offense is going to be a lot better than people think. And again, worst case, I don't think they're going to be great. And when a team's not great, they're down a lot. They're chucking a lot. That's good for everybody. I just think this offense will be better. And as much as I love Chuba Hubbard, because I was a truther all year, he's not going to be the lead dog if Jonathan Brooks is healthy come week one.
Yeah, and all reports say that he will be healthy for week one. So that's a good sign as well. All right, I got the next pick here, and it wouldn't be a mock draft if I didn't take this guy. I've been talking about him. I've taken quite a bit of heat for liking him so much, and it was really good to see that the NFL believed the way that I believed and took him where they did. But Keon Coleman going to the Bills, I know I've taken some heat on this podcast. He was going in the second round in a lot of pre-rookie drafts in the mock drafts. And, of course, he lands at the Bills, and now I'm seeing him going at the end of the first round. He's going to get a ton of opportunity. Of course, they got, to, you know, what is that, Curtis Samuel there, and, you know, Stephon Diggs is now gone. If him and Josh Allen can connect the way that Diggs and he did when they first got together, I think Coleman's going to have a huge, huge season. So Keon Coleman is a big winner for me, and I'm so glad to see it. And he's already gone viral twice now. I don't know if y'all have seen the two videos that he's had.
I have.
Yeah,
he's great.
He's a likable person, even like off the field. So let's hope that he succeeds. So Keon Coleman is my second pick here.
And man, Josh Allen would be like, what an upgrade from the biggest pain in the ass in the world, Stephon Diggs, yep, to seemingly one of the coolest wide receivers in Keon Coleman. So good for Josh Allen.
Agreed. All right, Ryan, your last pick here in the rookie winners.
I'm really torn right now because I just want to talk about my boy because he was one of my favorites. Before the draft, I had him as a top five receiver, and I got a lot of shit about it. And that was Xavier Leggett. Him going in the first round just made me feel so much better about it, being he's come into a situation where Bryce Young has to have good receivers thrown. He's a lot different from everything they have. He's a big body receiver. He can run after the catch. He runs through people. He can't understand what he's saying, but he seems super likable. That Southern accent's crazy. He's a big physical threat. He has the draft capital. It means the team believes in him and the quarterback does. So I love that for him.
Yeah, and the big thing, too, that, you know, beyond just getting good draft capital and being a first-round pick, they traded up one pick so they can get that fifth-year option, which is a very important thing. They believed in them that much that they can get that fifth-year option just by going up by one pick. So, yeah, great, great pick there. All right, Keith, your last pick here in the first.
All right, I do just real briefly want to mention Troy Franklin, who, you know, you brought up, obviously, Bo Nix. It's a huge advantage to Franklin that his rookie season he's playing with the same quarterback that he's had. And it's not like the Broncos receiver room is loaded. So do want to mention him. But I'm going to go somebody that I know everybody's probably been down on. You just don't get it. It's Brock Bowers with the Raiders. Everybody is like, oh, my God, they have a tight end. Bowers is not a tight end. He's an offensive weapon. He is I can't wait, as somebody who watched him the last 3 years, to see what you know, casual NFL fans are going to think when this guy hits the league. They're going to play Mayer in line. They're going to use Bowers, I guarantee you, a lot in the slot. They're going to move him outside. I don't wouldn't be surprised they put him in the backfield, which they did at UGA as well. And let's not forget, Jacoby Myers is gone. That is a lot of targets and receptions. And if you have Michael Myers and you have Brock Bowers, who do you think is going to get a majority of those? It's going to be Bowers. I think he's perfect for what they're doing with Antonio Pierce. I'm so high on this guy, whether it be Dynasty, whether it be best ball, redraft, whatever. I think he's going to be a top five tight end immediately. And in a year or two, he's going to be basically where Travis Kelce was, where every year it's like, okay, Brock Bowers is tier one and everybody else is below him.
Yeah, good call. I love that pick there for sure. You have to excuse me, too, audience. I've heard y'all heard me coughing a few times. I am a little under the weather. My voice is also a little raspy, so I apologize if you hear it in the background. Trying to hold it back as much as I can. All right, last pick in the first round, which is the rookie winners. I'm going to take the other running back. You mentioned Jonathan Brooks. He was on my list, but I'll take Trey Benson. He's going to go play with Cardinals now, who have, you know, Kyler Murray. They have Marvin Harrison Jr. I know James Conner's still there, but James Conner is not Trey Benson. I know Ryan's talked about him before. Speed combo. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. The only knock we had on him is that if it's not blocked well, he can't find the hole sometimes. But I think he'll do just fine here. He'll get plenty of volume. And I think I've seen him pushed up into the bottom half of the first round, top of the second round in a lot of rookie mocks because he got that. And some of it was because the other running backs didn't get great landing spots. Jonathan Brooks, Benson seemed to be day one starters. The rest of the guys got drafted in situations where they might not be day one starters. So those are your two top running backs, I think, right now in dynasty drafts. All right, let's move into the second round. And the second round is going to be rookie losers. And I did tell these guys ahead of time that we can draft the guy twice. So if you thought one of those winners that we mentioned was actually a loser and you wanted to draft him again in the second round, you can do that. So Ryan, kick off.
Who are you going to hate on? I feel like you planned that on purpose.
I did not. I just wanted to throw it out there because I know there's been some split. And the funny thing is, two of the guys that Keith picked, I've heard the split. I've heard the Brock Bowers negative side of things, and I've heard the Malik Nabers negative side of things. I don't have either one of those guys as a loser, but I wanted to make sure that if someone did think that they were losers, that they can draft them here as well. Ryan, you got first pick.
Okay.
I'm slowly coming around to it and don't hate it as much as I did on draft day. I'm going to go with Roma Dunze. The path to targets, at least early on in his career, with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Kmet Swift, it's really hard to picture him even hitting the 80 target threshold. I know he brings a lot different, and that's what I'm trying to like talk myself into, because he's a red zone threat. He can catch a deep ball, gup it over top, which they don't really have with two somewhat similar slot receivers. But path to targets is going to be hard. It's going to be inconsistent at best. It might be that third-year breakout that we used to talk about with wide receivers back in the day before they just became so explosive right away. I just, at first, it's a short-term thing, but I do not like it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, Roma Dunze was on my list as rookie losers as well for that exact reason. You know, especially if, you know, like Keith is looking at it just year one. I mean, I just don't see there being enough volume for all three guys to be fantasy viable. So, yeah, for sure, I think Adunze was a loser. All right, Keith, you got the next pick here.
Yeah, he was number one on my list because, again, I'm looking at from this year. If you're his dynasty, I think sky's the limit. I actually think he has a chance to be the best receiver in this class. But it's going to, you know, to your point, it's going to be 2-3 years. Because I'm looking at this year – and to have the most fun for this show, let's start with Blake Corum with the Rams, who it's actually a good situation. Like, I know why they brought him in. It makes so much sense. You got Kyren Williams. You don't want him to wear down. We kind of saw how he did last year. So you bring in Corum. I just was really high on Corum. So I believe that, okay, this guy has a chance to, you know, end up in like Carolina in the Brooks situation where I bet he's the starter, the lead carrier, all that. No matter how good Corum is, I don't know if he's going to out-tick Kyren Williams if we see what we did last year. Because a reminder, when Williams, Kupp, Puka, and Stafford were on the field, most efficient offense in the NFL, most efficient offense in almost 15 years. So he is going into a very good situation. Even if he just gets goal line work, I don't hate him. But I feel like he's a loser overall because he could have been, I just think, so much more if he got in a better landing spot where he got a real chance to kind of be the 1A guy instead of a definite 1B.
Yeah, he was definitely on my list as well for those exact reasons. I think Kyren Williams was second only to Christian McCaffrey as far as snaps last year, which is insane to think about. And, you know, I think they definitely want to limit his workload, but because of that, you know, if you thought Blake Corum was going to go in a situation where he's going to be the man, he's not going to be the man with the Rams. So it's a good call. Along those same lines, you know, I mentioned in the winners column that we had Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson that step into day one roles. You mentioned Blake Corum not getting that day one role. And I'm going to name another guy here, Jalen Wright, going to Miami. Of course, they've got Raheem Mostert already there. I know he's 32 years old, but then they have Devon Achain as well. So where does he kind of fit into this? I think that, you know, ideally for NFL purposes, they want to have a three-headed back committee, which doesn't help us in fantasy at all. I was really hoping Jalen Wright would end somewhere like the Cowboys. That's kind of where I've been mocked him to. I hope he'd land there. I think he's an exciting player that can potentially get something eventually. Now, I will say Raheem Mostert's 32, like I mentioned, and Achane's had some injury history, so maybe Wright gets his shot at some point. But I think if we assume those two guys stay healthy for this year, I think Wright was a loser overall on where he landed there. So he's my loser here. Ryan, back to you.
I think this guy is a winner for himself for where he was drafted, but for fantasy-wise, Ricky Pierce, I'll go into San Francisco, especially them making zero moves. He's at best fifth for targets on that team.
Yeah.
And that's with me putting a positive spin on it. I just don't – I know you want as many receivers and it's a pretty stacked team. There's a lot of it I don't understand for that situation. I don't know how he fits in. And it could be down the line. If they trade Aiyuk or they trade Debo, maybe that changes. But as it stands right now, it's gross.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. As a 49ers fan, I didn't quite understand it, especially when we had cornerbacks that we needed and there were still some good ones on the board. I don't know why we went receiver there, unless we really felt we were going to trade one of our receivers. But now the draft's over, we didn't trade them. I don't see there a trade happening now between now and the NFL season. So I think Pearsall was definitely a loser. I do think he adds to the offense. I think as an NFL piece, he's going to be good. Gives, you know, Kyle Shanahan more piece to work with. But for fantasy purposes, I don't love it.
But don't you like him for Dynasty moving forward? Because they basically said publicly they can't
get one of them's gone.
Ayuk and Samuel. So I do think he fits in well with what they do and what Brock excels at. It's just this year is going to be definitely rough.
Yeah, I agree. And I think
Maybe Debo misses time. Who knows? He typically does. But I'm with you that you got Kittle, you got McCaffrey. I mean, there's just so many mouths to feed already.
Yep.
And it's not a heavy passing offense.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Let's see. I lost track of where we were.
I think it's me, right?
Yep.
All right. I know I'm the Falcons fan, and I can't believe I'm bringing this shit up, but Michael Penix. This is, again, why I hate crapping on what my team did last Thursday, once again making a fool out of me and every other fan in Atlanta, but I really like Michael Penix, and I think the dude can ball. And can ball immediately, and it's a shame that he's sitting behind a quarterback that's guaranteed $150 million. The whole situation scares me. I still think for Dynasty, he's worth grabbing fairly early because they took him for a reason. I'm worried that maybe Cousins is hurt. You know, they're not liking the status come back. Maybe it's just the fact that they watched Ritter and Mariota the last 2 years, and the GM said, never again. We're never going to have a QB leading our team for any stretch that plays at that crappy of a level. But I hate it for Penix, the player, that at least, you know, initially it looks like he's going to have to sit when I really think he could have been the best QB out of this class immediately, and I don't think it's that crazy to say that.
Yeah, I had him on my list as well because you're right. I mean, he's going to sit behind Kirk Cousins for sure with that contract. There's no way, unless there's some issues with the injury that we don't know about. But, you know, I think
which I'm glad we gave him $150 million guaranteed if that's the case. So Falcons are going to Falcon. Would not surprise me.
Yeah, but. Good point. All right, I'm up next. I'm going to go with another receiver here. And mainly because I don't know how heavy of offense this is going to be as far as passing goes. And I'm going to go with Adonai Mitchell going to the Colts. Obviously, we know AR, Richardson's going to take over at quarterback there. He's not going to be throwing the ball a ton. He's going to have a lot of rushing. They have Michael Pittman, who had a ton of targets last year. They still got Josh Downs in the slot. So I think Adonai Mitchell's probably going to be a best ball receiver, especially year one. And then hopefully they can, you know, open up the offense a little bit with Anthony Richardson. But I think Mitchell ends up being sort of a boom-bust guy that's going to hurt his overall value, where I think he could have been, you know, a more of a volume guy if he had gone somewhere else. So I'll take Adonai Mitchell as my next rookie loser. Ryan, back to you.
I think it's going to be more of a loser from just a football perspective than fantasy, even though there were some people who believed it for a while. But Spencer Rattler falling all the way to the fifth round, whether it was the rumors from the TV show or just not that great. For a guy who was like, oh, maybe he gets something at the bottom of the first. Oh, definitely go in second. He's the top of that list on ESPN for a long time. It was a rough day for him. And, you know, it's a situation where he could end up starting at some point, which could be a good thing. But, man, fifth round, it's real hard to argue.
Yeah, good point. All right, Keith, your last rookie loser.
Which way do I want to go here? I'm going to go again with another running back. Actually, I will go the other way because I actually think Keon Coleman is a loser ending up in Buffalo. I am a big believer in Dalton Kincaid. I'm a big believer in Khalil Shakur. Khalil last year, over his last five games, Josh Allen ended up having the highest QBR rating in the NFL when targeting Khalil Shakir. I think that Coleman is going to be obviously the third or fourth option because James Cook's going to be also involved in the passing game. I think eventually Coleman is really good. So again, for Dynasty, I'm more high on him. But for what I was looking at this year, I'm still really high on Shakur, who, by the way, in best ball redrafts, just keeps plummeting. Mm-hmm. And if you look down that stretch, he kind of became the de facto number one wide receiver in the biggest games of Buffalo's season. Again, Kincaid's a monster. Cook, I think they're going to lean on a little bit more. I just think that for where he's going, especially for redraft and best ball, I think he's a loser and not going to have as big of an impact year one, similar to Odunze. Like, I just think that year one's not his year, but year two, year three, you're going to see him kind of break out if he is what people think he is.
Fair enough. That's why I made it so you can draft the same guy. So I love it. Good, opposite perspective there. All right, moving to round three, we are going to the veteran winners. Of course, you know, guys that either their teams didn't draft anybody from their position or they drafted guys that sort of helped them out in fantasy. Ryan, kick us off here.
I'm going with Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray got the best receiver in the draft. Either RB1 or 2, depending who you ask in the draft. He got offensive linemen. He got all the help you could ask for on that team. An improved defense should make his life better. I'd have liked to have seen another receiver, but you know what? You have a elite talent. You got a 104, and that shows how much that team believes in you, that they're giving you that receiver.
Yeah, he was definitely one on my list as well, the number one winner in this draft, because you're right. He got the consensus number one receiver and the consensus top two running back as far as what you could have had at that point. So, yeah, great call. Kyler Murray for sure. All right, Keith, you got the second pick here.
For me, it's easy. It's Zamir White with the Raiders. For Zamir White truthers like myself, go Dawgs. What a free agency and draft period. I know they took Dylan Waddle late in the draft, but I think that we can see from looking at the amount of touches Zamir White got down the stretch last year. I mean, that wasn't like a 3-game sample. That was, I think, 7 or 8 weeks. And the fact they did nothing to get like a 1B guy,
nope,
that he's going to be the huge benefactor. And he, again, in best ball and redraft, which I know I'm a maniac, I've been doing a lot of them, he's going way too low. Like, he's still going way too low after the draft. To me, Zamir White is for a zero running back guy like me who never takes a running back in the first 4 or 5 rounds, not named CMC. I think he's a great, you know, pick this year and a real winner. And again, Zamir White was the number one player in the country his senior year of high school. Had some injuries at UGA that kind of derailed him from being that guy, but he didn't do a lot of work, so he hasn't had a ton of touches thus in his career. He proved last year he could handle the 20 to 30 touch workload. He's a big dude, and I think the sky's the limit. He's one of my favorite running backs this year, and you can get him relatively cheap.
Yeah, it's funny. I had Kyler Murray and Zamir White as my 1 and 2 winners in this, and it was funny because pre-draft, I was trying to move Zamir White in my Dynasty League, trying to, you know, trade him off, thinking that they would draft a running back and he would lose value, and no one wanted him. And now that the draft is over with, I got multiple offers of people trying to get him from me. Like, oh, now you want him. Of course, yeah. Of course.
It's going to cost you.
Yep. All right, so my veteran winner here, there's a couple on my list that I like, but I'm going to take this one because you mentioned him earlier. I'm afraid you might snipe him from me, Keith. I'm going to take Bryce Young. Bryce Young got himself what we think can be a number one receiver in Xavier Leggett. He got one of the top two running backs we mentioned with Jonathan Brooks. You know, they improved that team overall. I think the Panthers had a really good draft in general. And I think Bryce Young is set up for success this year, especially in fantasy purposes. So I think Bryce Young overall, I think, was a very big winner in this draft. So I think we're going to see what we thought we were going to see last year with Bryce Young. We'll see it this year. So I agree with Keith. I'm big on Bryce Young this year. And if you can get him cheap, if anybody's still selling Bryce Young cheap because of what he did last year, go get him because he's definitely worth it.
Did an auction startup with some really smart people, and I'm so mad. He went for $25 in a 2QB league because somebody threw him out there early. I thought it was freaking brilliant. Nobody wanted to buy it right or take the bait. No, we're going to be paying $100+, you know, dollars for these QBs. And I think by far it was still a draft, and it was like the second you know, pick that was given up for auction.
Wow. All right, Ryan, you got the next pick here.
I'm going with a name that disgusts me to say for this because he has enough already, and that's Patrick Mahomes. You get him an elite speed at wide receiver after you just signed him elite speed wide receiver free agency. You got him three offensive linemen. You have another receiving tight end in the mix. They're just
a giant, not just a tight end, a giant. He's like 6'6".
Yeah.
And he's yeah, I like him catch. He's like, what do you want, Pat? And they just one got it for him. It's crazy, and they really didn't lose that much on that team. I hate saying it, but man, it was good for them.
Yeah, the rich get richer, that's for sure. All right, Keith, what you got?
I'm going to do a dual one. I think hopefully I can get away with this.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say Kyle Pitts and Drake London, who I've been saying, screaming actually for the last 3 years, it's part of what infuriates me as a Falcons fan. We spent high capital on these offensive weapons. I actually think they're good. The issue is if you spend capital on offensive weapons, you probably should have a quarterback to get them the ball, something we have not tried until this year and is befuddling as it was for them to take Michael Penix at number 8. We're giving Cousins all that money. This now means whether QB1 or QB2 is playing, I feel really good about my two guys who are elite. And Pitts and London, and you could say the same actually for Bijan if you just want to group them all together, because I think the Falcons offense, no matter what, will be pretty frisky. And I've been saying for a while, I think Pitts is more of the breakout star this year. But if you go back, just watch the New Orleans game that London had, where he caught 3 or 4 balls that I don't know what Ridder was doing other than just chucking them down the field. But I am excited to see what this guy can do with an elite quarterback, because Matt Ryan was there for year one of Pitts. Pitts had over 1,000 yards, almost set a rookie tight end record. Drake London has literally just played with Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, and Sam Heinicke. Huge upgrade for both of these guys. Very excited to see what they want. We're going to lose a lot of games, 45-41, but again, Falcons going to Falcon, but I think our offense is going to be good and we're going to score some points.
Yeah, I love that call. Good one. All right, I got the next pick, and I'm going to go with a little bit unconventional one here, because I don't think it's necessarily what they added as far as offensive skill players, or didn't add for that matter. I'm going to go with Najee Harris, because the Steelers went heavy on offensive line, and that's the one thing we've been knocking with Najee Harris since he's been there, is his offensive line is terrible. He's very inefficient with his running. Well, now he has got no more excuses. If he gets the volume that he's had in the past couple years, I think we're going to see a career year from Najee Harris this year. I think the Steelers finally did the right thing and went out and got offensive linemen. So Najee Harris, to me, was a huge, huge gainer. I think, to an extent, too, Jaylen Warren, obviously the RB2 there, also is going to gain some value. But I think because of the style of running that Najee Harris does, he needs the offensive line in front of him, and I think he benefits the most from that. All right, Ryan, last pick for your veteran winners.
I'm weirdly sticking with the same team, with the Chiefs, and I'm going with Isaiah Pacheco. He's a guy who I feel like never is respected in fantasy, and we all think, oh, they're going to replace him. Guess what? They didn't. He's the man there. It's just him and CEH, and he's definitely the man out of those guys.
Yeah.
And they drafted all offense. That's belief.
Yeah. And Chad TTV on the chat here is saying you can't have a skill position without mentioning Arthur Smith. So as a Falcon fan, Keith, I'm sure you know all about Arthur Smith.
He's going to run the ball, though, 110%. I can promise you that. Cordell Patterson didn't even play the position. Pro Bowler, 1,000-yard season. Tyler Algier, 6th-round draft pick, just by starting the last 8 games, 1,000-yard season. I love Najee Harris. Like, I think he is a real winner, not just because of the draft, but because Arthur Smith's there. He's the kind of back Arthur Smith likes to use.
Love it. All right, Keith, your last pick here for veteran winners.
All right, I'm not giving up on this dude. Still trying to get him in Dynasty. Jameson Williams.
Damn it.
Detroit Lions.
Snipe me. That was mine.
I'm sorry. He's my guy, man. Like, I was so high on him. Coming into that draft, I understood that we would have the injury stuff. But I didn't know that we were going to have all the other things. And I was kind of losing faith. And then you saw the run in the Green Bay game. And I went in the playoff game and I go, that's the guy. That's the guy that I fell in love with, because not only is he a down the field weapon, but he's almost like Debo, that once he gets the ball, just look out. He's a man possessed. I like they didn't do anything. I know you got Amon-Ra St. Brown. I know you got Sam Laporta. But I think he's got a real niche to be they're big play guy because neither LaPorta or St. Brown are those things. Year three, I'm thinking a big season from him. And I was a little nervous if they drafted a wide receiver, that meant they were kind of giving up on him. I think it's the opposite. You saw his snap share and everything went up as the season went on. Big Jameson Williams guy going in next year.
Yeah, I love it. You left me scrounging there. I thought for sure I was going to get Jameson Williams. I'm like going through like, oh, man, who am I going to pick now? So I'm going to go with I didn't love the Niners draft. I'm a Niners fan, didn't love the draft. However, Brock Purdy got himself some more weapons. He's got Ricky Pearsall, we mentioned already. They have the running back whose name I can't think of right now. I think it's Isaiah or is it Isaac, the one that ran the fast 40 time. They picked him up late in the rounds as well. Another skill player that we can use out of the backfield in certain
packages. Garendio, again, I'm a country bumpkin, so I'll probably butcher that name. But, yeah, it's Isaac Garendio.
Yeah, I think he ran the fastest 40 time for a running back this past combine. So we picked him up. Another piece for Shanahan to fit into the fold. Brock Purdy, I think, benefits a lot with his fantasy value. So I'll take Brock Purdy as my final veteran winner because Keith sniped me in my Jameson Williams pick.
Most disrespected man in fantasy, Brock Bowers. I don't get it. Top six, his first full year starter, and everybody's like, oh, he's like QB12 in Dynasty. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And yeah, I had a bunch of guys trying to offer me trades in some of my leagues where I have Brock Purdy, and they're like, you got Brock Purdy as your quarterback. I'm like, yeah, and? Like, he was the quarterback six again last year. So, I mean, it's not a bad thing to have Brock Purdy as your quarterback. All right, we are up to round four. This is the veteran losers. And Ryan, go ahead and kick us off.
I'm going Michael Mayer. We've talked about Brock Bowers enough and just how elite pass catcher he is. Mayer's going to be that secondary option now and be in a lot more on them passing downs. I like the player, but Bowers really, really puts a damper on it.
Yeah, I think anybody who bought into Michael Mayer last year are very disappointed because Brock Bowers is going to take all of that. I think Mayer has a role, an NFL role, just not a role that's going to create fantasy points.
No. So it's going to be touchdown dependent for fantasy points.
Yep, agreed. All right, Keith, what's your first veteran loser?
All right, this may surprise some people, but Rashad White for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He is not a great running back. Very good pass-catching back. The issue is they brought in Bucky Irvin, who is the best pass-catching back in this class. Good so point. What White does best, they've now brought somebody else in to do. And I just don't know if White is a guy that can get like 4.55 yards per carry. I'm not saying that he won't still catch passes, but really, most of his fantasy value was from all those big receptions games, other than that like 3-4 stretch where I know he had like 90 to like 110 yards. I just concerned that he's going to lose out on that target share and, you know, his total receptions. And that's a big deal for a guy like him who was kind of a fringe RB1 anyway.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I didn't understand the Bucky Irvin pick at all because I'm just like you. He was Rashad White was very inefficient running the football. Most of his stuff was coming through the pass, through the air, and they go out and get a pass-catching running back. I thought more a guy like Ray Davis or Audric Estime would have fit better there to kind of take off that the running ability of Rashad White. So, yeah, very good call. He wasn't on my list, but that's a very good one. All right, so I am up next, and I'm going to go with a guy who signed a contract with the new team, and everyone's kind of excited to see him on this new team, and then they drafted a receiver that can do what he does and better, and that's Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis, of course, goes from Buffalo to Jacksonville, and then the Jacksonville Jaguars take Brian Thomas Jr., who can do what Gabe Davis does and then do things better than him as well. So I think Gabe Davis is a loser in that sense. You know, he was.
Gabe Davis has been overrated and always been overrated.
He has been, but the team switch and you know the new quarterback kind of gave him some more fantasy life. And then I think when Brian Thomas got drafted there, I think that was just absolutely crushed.
Has any player lived off of just one game?
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't even a
play. That's what everybody says.
It wasn't even a fantasy game. You got fantasy points from it. Was a playoff, right. An actual playoff game, and he's been a superstar in our eyes because of that. Exactly right. All right, Ryan, back to you.
I mean, is it fair to say Kirk Cousins? Like,
yes, he was on my list. That's who I was going with.
It feels like just low-hanging fruit. But I'm going to paint it from a positive note for Kirk Cousins. Last, he's going to get his $100 million, be cut, and still be young enough to just take another team's money. So there's a light at the end of the tunnel for him. But fantasy wise, it's question marks. It's scary what happened. If he struggles at all, the fans start talking.
Yep.
It's ugly.
It's ugly. I like Los's comment in the chat there. The real veteran losers are the Dallas Cowboys, basically the whole team, because they didn't do a whole lot of anything. They didn't get the running back that we thought they were going to get. They didn't really get a compliment for CeeDee Lamb. They're going to roll with, I guess, Zeke as their running back this season, I guess.
I'm a Rico Dottle truther.
Rico Dottle, there you go. I don't know what they were doing. I know Los, he's a Cowboys fan, so I know he was hurting. But yeah, I agree, Los. The Cowboys in general were losers. All right, Keith, you're up.
Again, I'm probably going to surprise people, but Josh Jacobs is a real loser here. I know he signed with Green Bay. Everybody was just ecstatic because we think about the volume that he had for the Raiders, going to a much better offense in Green Bay. Then bringing in Marshawn Lloyd pretty much tells me, hey, guess what? Remember how frustrated you were when Aaron Jones would lose carries to A.J. Dillon? Well, we got some more of that coming with Josh Jacobs and Marshawn Lloyd. And these, you know, McVay disciples, they'll change running backs on a whim. So it would not surprise me at all if Lloyd ends up being the starting back by the end of the year. We go through this every year. Akers, last year with I know why I'm blanking on the running back. Thank you, Kyron Williams. I mean, the year before, right, the Elijah Mitchell, Trey Sermon stuff. I mean, these guys constantly in this tree, whoever's getting it done is going to get the chance. And LaFleur has proven in Green Bay he's going to share the load between his two backs. So by getting Lloyd with Jacobs, I think Jacobs is a huge loser for fantasy value.
Yeah, 100%. Because, yeah, I made a comment on draft day about it, and people were pointing out that Josh Jacobs' deal is really front-loaded, where it's a one-year deal, really. So, I mean, he could have his 1 year and be out of Green Bay, and Marshawn Lloyd takes over. So, yeah, good call. I like that. All right, Ryan, you went with two Chiefs as winners. I'm going to take a Chief here as a loser, Marquise Brown. I think they got Xavier Worthy, who does the things that Marquise Brown can do. And Marquise Brown's had a problem staying healthy. I think he could potentially, fall into that trap once again. I think he got a good.
Do you know why?
Go ahead.
Because he's under 170 pounds.
Yeah. Well, they're both under 170 pounds. They're both small.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I guess one of them will be healthy at least, they hope. That's what their hope is. They'll get two guys that are under 170 and hope that at least one of them's healthy each week. But I do think if you were excited about Marquise Brown being a receiver too in Kansas City, and who knows, maybe Rashee Rice gets suspended. I saw today that there's a rumor he might get half of the season suspended. Maybe it's Marquise Brown and Xavier Worthy are your two receivers in that offense. But I do think overall with Xavier Worthy there, I think Brown is the biggest loser on that team.
I would buy Rice, though, everywhere you can in Dynasty.
Yeah,
I've been saying it since it happened. He's not going to jail. He might miss half the season, but look at what Mahomes did last year with him. They're going to go right back to him. They proved it with Tyreek Hill, who punched his pregnant girlfriend in the stomach, and they still drafted him. They're not worried about character issues in Kansas City. They're worried about, okay, who makes our QB look really good?
Yep. It's all about the wins. All right, Ryan, last pick for your veteran losers.
Derek Carr. The Saints really – I know they got an offensive lineman, but we're talking about these weapons. It's Chris Olave and old Alvin Kamara, and that's it. Like, Bob Means doesn't move the needle for me here. They didn't get anything in free agency. It's bad for Derek Carr.
And they got a quarterback, too. I know he went later round.
And they drafted a quarterback. When they, could have drafted a wide receiver there, too. Just got him some weapons.
Because if Derek Carr struggles at all, they're going to be calling for Rattler.
Or a tight end. Anything. They just did not do right by him.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think he actually is another guy like Bryce, though, that could have a bounce back year. You look, he had the shoulder issue. There was a big difference from the throws he made early in the season to kind of late in the season when he said his shoulder was starting to feel right again. Not saying he's going to, set the world on fire, but everybody's saying, look at his numbers down the field. His shoulder was basically falling off for, 10 to 12 weeks. So it would not surprise me if he's back more to the mean of kind of what he did you know, with the Raiders this season. Especially, again, he's got Chris Olave, who's arguably the best receiver in football.
Yeah, fair point. I love it. All right, Keith, your last veteran loser.
I really did want to go with Cousins because, goodness gracious, but I talked about him earlier. Chuba Hubbard, man, RIP, bro. You were my guy. I rode with you this year in DFS. I've got you in a lot of dynasty leagues. I was so excited. And then of all the people Carolina had to draft, it had to be the one running back in this class that would have been a first-round pick had it not been for his injury. And it's just he's going to go back to being 1B. That's just the way it is. And if Brooks ends up being as good as I, you know, there's real potential for if he recovers and was the guy that he was at Texas, it may be like a distant 1B. RIP Chuba Hubbard, at least from a fantasy value standpoint.
Yeah, I agree. Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders, for that matter. You can lump those two guys
absolutely.
Together.
I thought he was even there.
Yeah, good point. All right, I'm going to go with a guy that at this time last year was a winner. Because we didn't expect him to get the capital that he went. He actually snuck into the first round of a lot of rookie mocks, rookie drafts in general. But then the Carolina Panthers go out and draft a receiver, Mr. Jonathan Mingo. I think his dynasty stock, whatever was left of it after the season that he had, is pretty much gone at this point. You know, we were all excited about him last year because he got that high draft capital. Like, oh, you know, he's going to be the number one receiver there, and it just never panned out. So if you're still holding on to your shares of Jonathan Mingo, we had a lot of Panthers tonight, didn't we? We pretty much talked about every one of their skill players that they have currently on their team, I think.
Good stays good and bad stays bad, and tonight proved it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, 100%.
But again, they score just as many fantasy points, sometimes more, on bad teams as they do on good ones.
Yep, agreed. Yep. All right, that wraps up our winners and losers drafts. Hopefully the format was a lot better than some other. I know a lot of podcasts are doing them right now, and there's a lot of redundant information, so hopefully our format made it a little more interesting for y'all. Let's get to our final segment of the night.
Get ready for goingfor2.com's Forgotten Fantasy Player of the Week.
So we've had a lot of specials lately, and me and Ryan haven't done a Forgotten Fantasy Player in a while, so we might be a little rusty here.
We've been rusty.
Yeah, we were rusty even before. You're right, because we took a long break after.
We took that break. We've been rusty. I like actually worried about it for a change.
Yeah, so Keith, go ahead and give us your first hint on our Forgotten Fantasy Player.
Okay, so it's just hints, right?
Just hints.
Is that the way it works? Okay. All right, this player is entering his fourth year in the NFL season and plays wide receiver.
Okay, let's get that draft class in my head. All right, we need some more.
He has caught at least 75 receptions in each of his first three seasons.
75 receptions. So he's actually...
I'm making a point with this, by the way. Just now.
Okay, fair enough. Somebody that nobody's thinking of as being a fantasy receiver.
Yeah.
I like it.
I have him top 10 this year.
Ryan, help me out. Which draft class are we thinking of here? I'm not good at the draft classes. I'm trying to think. Is this the Justin Jefferson draft class?
I believe it's 1 year after, I believe.
The Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson one?
The
year before that. I think the year in between. So the Jamar Chase the draft class.
Correct.
Okay.
Keep going.
Yeah, I need more.
All right. He has at least 1,000 yards in all three of his first seasons.
Oh, my God. It's got to be easy. I would feel like this has got to be somebody that we know.
All right, here's where we'll get fun. Some of the QBs he's caught passes for. Colt McCoy. Carson Wentz. Cal Allen.
Oh, Devonta Smith.
Nope.
No.
It's not Jahan
Alex
Dotson.
Alex Smith.
Jahan Dotson.
Garrett Gilbert. Getting closer. Same team.
It's not.
Did you say Jeff?
I said Jahan Dotson.
Same team. Wide receiver.
Terry, not Terry McLaurin, is it?
Scary Terry McLaurin.
Oh, my
goodness. I feel like he's still much older than that.
Yeah, that's why I eliminated him in my head. I'm like, there's no way he's been in the league.
I went and looked. He's had three seasons of at least 75 receptions, 1,000 yards, and 5 touchdowns. The full list of QBs, and why I keep telling people, Jaden Daniels, no matter what you think on him,
best QB.
Huge upgrade. He has caught passes from Case Keenum, Dwayne Haskin, Colt McCoy, Alex Smith, Kyle Allen, Taylor Heineke, Garrett Gilbert,
wow,
Carson Wentz, and Sam Howell. And he's caught 75 receptions, 1,000 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Terry McLaurin to the moon, people.
Yeah.
He was almost one of my winners, too. If I'd had that quarterback list, I not only ruined your day, but definitely would have used it.
Yeah, that's a good – wow, that's a good pull. That is a good pull for sure. I love it. Good stuff. Terry McLaurin. And I live in Washington, D.C. I should have known that one off the bat. Good stuff. All right. Well, that wraps up our show tonight. Keith, we'll go to you. Give us your Twitter handle, where we can follow you, where we can find your stuff at, anything you want to plug.
Just at Keith Fleming. If you have a chance, be sure to follow Fantasy and Frames, Fantasy Six Pack, a lot of good stuff, both on their YouTube and other social media pages. But also just wanted to say, you guys do a wonderful job. I appreciate both of y'all being so interactive on social media and so helpful, and just it's really nice to know that the people you meet in this industry are as nice as they appear. Keep up the great work and keep doing what you're doing.
Good stuff, man. Thank you. And it looks like Joe made an appearance here from Fantasy Six Pack. He's like, hey, I know you guys. What's up, Joe? All right, Ryan, what you got going on?
Dude, same old, same old. Find me on Twitter, Frost534. Find me here Wednesday nights. Find me over at the Rookie Big Board, Dynasty Big Board podcast Wednesday mornings.
Good stuff. I want to thank you once again, Keith, for coming on tonight. Really appreciate it. Great insight tonight on the winners and losers draft. We would love to get you on at some point this season again. But as always, guys, you can follow me. Follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. I want to plug our Discord. Right now, of course, we're getting into the Scott Fishbowl era of fantasy football. If you're into the Scott Fishbowl, our Discord last year, I think, had over 800 Scott Fishbowl participants. And we ran probably hundreds and hundreds of mock drafts. I created ADP from those mock drafts. Tons of tools that some of the guys are putting in there. So the Discord is really a good place to go if you're in the Scott Fishbowl. It's in my Twitter profile. It's free to join. If you're not in the Scott Fishbowl, we do regular Dynasty stuff. We do redraft stuff. We have DFS stuff in there. We do sports picks. We got it all. It's free. Jump in there. Hang out with some cool people. Again, the link is in my Twitter bio, so jump in there and join us. All right. For Ryan, for Keith, I'm Jeff. We will see y'all next week.